You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. I am here today with a very special guest from a very powerful agency. That's right, we're talking about Kevin Morris. I know you have seen him on the show before because he has given you some great detail and insight to some airspace questions and other problems that are, well, he has solutions for. So Kevin, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. I guess I can say it's good to be back.
It's actually good to do a show in person for once.
Absolutely, and I really like your backdrop.
Hey, you know, I borrowed that from a friend.
Oh, fantastic.
That was you.
Yes.
Anyway, we are here today to ask some really hard questions. Actually, we're not here to ask any hard questions whatsoever, but we do have some questions for you. We are at the 2019 FAA Symposium, where they're giving us a breakdown of what we can expect regulatory-wise to come down the pipe. But I've got some questions here that we're gonna be putting you on the hot seat. Are you ready?
I'm ready, let's
go. All right, the seat is warming up as the butt warmers have just been turned on. All right, so first question. Let's say someone is out there and they believe that another pilot is flying illegally for, well, whatever reason. What is the official stance? What should someone do if they think another drone pilot is flying illegally?
Well, if you encounter somebody that appears to be operating illegally, we certainly would like to know about that at the FAA. That's probably the official stance. But let me go a little bit deeper into that. I think if you're observing something, and that's, let's say it's, you feel that it's illegal, and you feel that it's unsafe or very threatening to person or property, it could cause damage, something like that, I would highly recommend the first thing you do is dial 911. Reach out to local law enforcement to get help. If we're talking about something that's direct threat to security, safety, people, we ask that you call local law enforcement because they will be able to get on scene to help you out much quicker than we have. Now, that being said, we still would like to know about it. So if you see that illegal activity, please report it to your local flight standards district office. But additionally, one other step you might be able to take if something is happening that appears to be illegal, but the person just didn't know because they just didn't know, maybe that's a great time to do some education with that person, just from industry to industry, to reach out and say, hey, look, did you know that flying here, you need an airspace authorization? They might not have any idea. And reaching out to that person might help them understand what the rules are and make it safer for everyone. But I guess my official answer would be yes. If you do see suspected illegal UAS activity, please let the FAA know.
Yeah, illegal activity can definitely cause, as you know, the industry, a lot of strife. It can cause a lot of issues. And I know we're going to be talking about some enforcement things here. We may be able to have that conversation go a little bit deeper tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. But one of the other questions I had is, what is the best way to have FISDO contact someone who refuses to follow current rules? Let's say this is kind of beyond the compliance. Like, you know, this is essentially, they are, you know, clearly saying, I don't care what, you know, the FAA says. What's the best way to handle that?
So in each flight standards district office, we have somebody that's dedicated to UAS, a point of contact or focal point, whatever term you like to use. And that's the person that you're going to want to get a hold of. And so you can reach out to your local FISDO, get a hold of that person, and start to talk to them about not only what you saw, but all the supporting information that you are concerned about. I think primarily, if you're looking for the FAA to reach out to an individual that you've seen once, twice, three times, five times flying illegally, we're going to need some information from you reporting that. Specifically, who is this person? How can we reach them? Where are they flying? When do they usually fly? Because what happens is a lot of times when people call and let us know, I saw a drone, it was flying over park, and it flew over some kids, and you guys need to do something about it. We agree. But it's very difficult for us to take that information and turn it into actionable events. Like, when was that person out there? Where did they go? Because we can get out there, but if that person's not there, we're kind of back at square one. So if you're going to want the FAA to be involved in trying to reach out and educate someone or at least talk to them about some suspected illegal activity, please provide us with as much information as we can so that when we do go out, we have reasonable assurance that we're going to find this person, we can reach this person, and we know who they are and we know what they did. So the more information you can provide in that initial report to us helps us on the backside of it, reaching that individual and hoping to ensure that they're compliant in the future.
So speaking about information to capture at that moment, do you recommend that people maybe take recordings, like video recordings with their phone to document what they're seeing? Is that going to be something that's going to be helpful to you? Or is that something that the FAA can use in really helping with FISDO engage these operators who are clearly uncompliant or they're just unwilling to be?
Certainly any information, like I was saying, you can provide will help our inspectors out to go out and do the investigation. I think so will tie in nicely to a question maybe you're going to ask me later on about enforcement, but nonetheless, taking a picture or some video to help the FAA inspector understand what you saw also goes to a great length in helping us do the investigation we need to do, whether that's going to end up being a compliance policy event or if it ends up being some sort of legal enforcement like a civil penalty. We can take that information as part of a larger package and use that as part of our evidence.
Now, this is probably one way that you, or I shouldn't say you, that the FAA plans on engaging the drone community as a whole. But what other ways is the FAA planning on engaging the drone community as a whole?
Now, another really good question. We've really tried to retool how we engage the drone community, sort of stepping away from our traditional methods of normal manned aircraft pilot information distribution, because the UAS community operates differently than manned aircraft. How long you guys fly, where you guys fly, the type of missions you're flying, the altitudes you're flying at, who you guys are and where you guys are, required us to take a step back and say, okay, we need to sort of look at this differently. And that's manifest itself in things like Twitter videos, Facebook live chats, the webinar series that we did last summer on operational waivers, the webinar series that we're doing.
Let me stop you really quick, because when I watched you in the beginning on the webinars and I watch you now, it's like you have gone full Vanna White. Like you are amazing. Like you're really good now. Your communication skills. I mean, it's like you're doing a podcast yourself.
Well, I'll tell you, I learned everything from you, Paul.
Oh, yes.
I have watched all your stuff, and that's okay. No, we have a great group of people in our Office of Communication that works with us on reaching out and how to reach out and how to speak so that the information we're trying to convey is understood by our audience. You know, if I sat up here and I just rattle off a bunch of aviation terms, aviation speak, government speak, I'm thinking I'm going to get my message across, but you may not understand it and your audience may not understand it. So we really try to work hard at making sure we are speaking a language that the drone community understands. And we did that with our operational waiver series, as you mentioned there. We also took the feedback from the community, which is now driving our airspace webinar series that we're right in the middle of now. So one of the information sources we got back was a lot of people were asking about airspace, even during our operational series on waivers. So we're like, right away, we thought we need to do an airspace webinar series. So we're doing those types of non-traditional government mediums via the web and social media accounts, things like that, and partnering with folks like you to do a podcast with Drone U and reaching out to an audience that we maybe not normally can catch. So those are some of the methods that we're doing to try to get this information out.
No, I think it's really great. I like the fact that the FAA is actually really trying to say, hey, we're here to help. But now comes the hard question, because we've been sitting here, we've been talking about enforcements, engaging the community, and I know a lot of my listeners right now are like, here it comes. So let's ask actually the hard question, which I actually have you to thank for putting on my question list, so sure. I do appreciate it. But when it comes to FISDO, when it comes to these illegal operations, we know that this is something that we wish to see further solutions on. And we're really curious because it doesn't seem like the FAA is really enforcing regulations when it comes to illegal drone flights. So can you tell us what the FAA is doing right now and plans for the future?
Sure. You sure you don't want to save this question to the very end and make your listeners follow us all the way through so they don't tune out right?
Yeah, maybe, no. Maybe I'm selectively choosing questions here.
that's perfect, Paul. Perfect. I know. So let's take that question. Certainly your listeners have asked that question. I've seen that question posted many times on different social media avenues. We've been asked that question a lot. There's a few different moving parts to it, but let me see if I can explain it a little bit clearly. I will sit here and I will tell you that every complaint that a Flight Standards District Office of FISDO receives is investigated. In the unmanned aircraft world, investigating suspected illegal UAS flights can be difficult. because the nature of the flight itself. It's not an aircraft that's been
operating. You're up and down 20 minutes and you're gone.
Yep, back. It's in the trunk of a car and they're driving away. So there is some challenges right off the bat with investigating enforcement cases against illegal UAS drone operators. But that being said, we still take every complaint call we get, every report of suspected illegal UAS activity that we get seriously, and we investigate it. Now, moving past that, we are in an era of compliance policy with the FAA. So we have moved from a hammer first mentality, which is, you did something illegal, we're coming to get you, here's the fine, you owe us money, right? So we've moved away from that to more of a compliance policy, because if I fine you $1,000 because I felt you did something wrong, and let's say you challenge it in court, whatever, but you end up paying $1,000, did you learn anything? Maybe, maybe not. But under the compliance policy, if I sit down and say, hey, Paul, listen, let's go through some training. Let's do some counseling on this and some education. When you're doing this, you need to be here, here, and here, and you have to have this with you. It's a much better experience for you because no money's coming out of your wallet. It's a better experience for the FAA because we're actually able to educate you on what you need to know. And in the end, the National Airspace System is better for it because now you know this moving forward. Rather than you just being mad you got caught by the FAA, had to pay $1,000, you actually understand what we hope you understand and can be safer operating in the future. So when we do end up going through an enforcement investigation, we can use our compliance policy to drive home the point of education, counseling, and training first rather than civil penalties. Now, unfortunately, that's not advertised all over the place. Mm-hmm. So while it's happening, it's not exactly made knowledgeable to all the public that this happened X amount of time.
I think that's a really important point that people should understand, is that not every single time that the FAA conducts an enforcement, it is actually public knowledge. And that's something I actually just realized as I was sitting in Charles' talk over here about enforcement. And again, I hope we do get to go further into this topic, because it's something that, you know, people have a lot of concern about, but not only concern, but they have a lot of interest. They want to know what's going on behind the scenes. And we had heard earlier there was something like 90 enforcements. And that's something that I think needs to get out to the community. But with this whole factor of, you know, there's only so much information that we can put out publicly, I would say for you operators out there who are, you know, trying to get away with some things, you should be grateful that they don't put out your name if they do enforce against you. So there are pros and cons to this, but at the same time, I think it's important for people to understand that you may not be seeing the whole picture all the time.
And I really think, too, it's important to for people to understand that just because we have an area of compliance policy where we're trying to go to education, counseling, and training first, that doesn't take away our ability to conduct an enforcement investigation. If circumstances and evidence warrant something more than just a sit-down talk and let's try to get you to understand it, for example, somebody's doing something over and over and over again on purpose and they know they're doing it against the rules and they just don't care, that may not be the best individual for compliance policy, right? So we still have the ability to conduct enforcement investigations. We still have the ability to issue civil penalties or fines to individuals as appropriate. But under a compliance policy, our first goal is to educate and train first. And if that's not working, then we certainly move towards the enforcement end where we talk about civil penalties. And I think one more thing I'd like to add too, I think a lot of people have a misconception of what the FAA can do. They sort of look to us as, well, you're the regulatory agency, so you need to go out and stop these guys. Well, we are absolutely the regulatory agency, but we do not have police powers. If I find you flying a drone illegally, I just can't confiscate your drone because I'm the FAA. I can't go kicking in doors to find people because I'm the FAA. We are not law enforcement in that regard. We conduct our investigations very differently, where we gather evidence and we present a case to our attorneys to take to court. So I think a lot of people want us to be a quick reaction for us. You know, I called, I saw, go get them, you know, that type of thing. And everything we've talked about up to this point shows why it's a little bit difficult, but then also in the end, we're not a law enforcement agency like your local police department. So I think that's a little bit of a misconception people have about the FAA.
Now, it brings up another good point too, because more and more cities are trying to, it seems like, enact their own laws as well, as they're not even clear as far as what drone pilots can do, hobbyists versus, you know, commercial pilots, and then the role that the FAA plays as well. So, you know, another important point here is, like, what happens, or what do you think drone pilots should do to reach out to cities to discuss their charters when they're trying to control the NAS? They're trying to essentially, like, make their own laws. They're trying to essentially create these rules that they may or may not be able to do. I mean, right. What do you expect, or how do you expect drone operators to work with that?
And I think this goes back to my larger theme, which is education. And I'll probably say that half a dozen more times, at least in this podcast. Educating people is the key. In the same way that we have a lot of drone operators that simply don't know and would benefit from education, we have local and state governments that are in the same boat. They just don't know and they just don't understand. And the unfortunate natural reaction a lot of people have with drones is that they're spying on me. It's a negative connotation mm-hmm. with the drone, right? They don't see it as a business tool. They don't see it as an industry that is trying to succeed and do things the right way. All they hear and think about are the bad things that drones can do.
I tell people not to be so vain.
Right. Yeah. And so but it's the education piece that helps out with that. So I've talked to a lot of people that said, hey, you know, my city is starting to put ordinances out there that are just banning drone flights everywhere. And what are they doing? And my response is always, can you get into a city council meeting? Can you go talk to these people and educate them? Because a lot of times they're making rules just because they don't know. And so if you can open up a dialogue with your local city or your state, attend your city council meetings, bring them the information, start educating them, I think that will go a long way to helping enable those folks to make the right rules that still protect the citizens that they need to protect, but allow you to continue your business.
I think that's a really good point, and it's a really good point for everyone listening to the show, that you have got to play an active role in your community. It's so important, but it's also critical, I think, on a business perspective, because you have to be networking. You have to go out there and create relationships to grow your business. And some of the best relationships to create, in my opinion, are ones with your local government, because there are local enforcement officers that use drones themselves, and I'm sure they would love to clear the air on how people can and can't use drones, and not only that, but how local governments can and cannot control the national airspace system. So I think this is extremely imperative. I'm glad that you brought that up, so thank you very much. Yep. And I appreciate having you on the show, Kevin. I don't mean to wrap it up so quick, but we got through some really important points here. Yes. That I think a lot of you have been asking. So Kevin, thank you again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's a pleasure.
It is always fun. That is going to do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. I really do appreciate you watching the show. If you have a question for myself, you can go to askdroneu.com. But if you have a question, it seems like there's now better, more direct ways to communicate with the FAA through the FAA Twitter feed at FAA News.
Yes.
Or on Facebook directly at FAA. You recommend, hey, reach out to us directly, right?
Yes, absolutely. Through our different social media accounts, and you mentioned Twitter and Facebook, and those sites are monitored 24 hours a day. So if you have a question and you try to get some information, get it to one of those social media accounts. They will route it to the people that need to be on that call, so to speak, and get you the information you need. So yes, please reach out to us. We will get you the information you're looking for.
Awesome. Well, on that bombshell, that's going to do it for our show today. Can't say thank you enough for you listening and supporting us as well. That's going to do it. This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.